Hi, you're listening to Screen of the Crime, a podcast where we talk about true crime and what would happen if your favorite TV or movie characters committed those crimes. I'm Maggie, and today my guest is...
Hi, I'm Nick. I'm a recent graduate of Florida State University and a pretty old friend of Maggie's.
Mm-hmm. We went to school together in Florida.
We did, yeah.
All right. Anything you want to talk about that's not true crime or TV related? Could be TV related. Any fun updates, news,
events? Podcast related, since we've been in a global pandemic for... you know, however many months I've been listening to a lot more podcasts. So
I'm listening
to this one. And some good old horror ones like Magnus Archives is one I've been listening to right now. Shout out to Magnus Archives, I guess.
Yep.
But yeah.
That's fun. I started watching The Killing.
Ooh.
Because I was watching, what's that other show? Dark Spot? It's like French or something, but my roommates don't like dubbed over television. So I felt like The Killing was the equivalent of Dark Spot. It's not, though, but it's a cringy crime show.
Is The Killing the one, I think we all watched an episode of it, or two episodes of it. There's like a female detective lead, right?
Yeah, it's in Washington, Seattle.
Yeah. I think I've seen a few episodes of it.
Came out a while ago. Yeah. Like 2011, 2014, something.
Numbers.
Who knows? Yeah. All right. So I'm going to be talking about The Vampire of Sacramento, also known as Richard Chase.
Ooh. It's not a very vampire-y name.
He's not a very vampire-y guy. Okay. Okay, so he was born on May 23rd, 1950, and he was raised in a strict household and was often beaten by his father, which sucks. By the time he was 10, he was killing cats. And in his teens, he became an alcoholic and also developed a consistent penchant for killing and mutilating animals and fire starting, which is almost the triad of sociopaths. He just needs to be bedwetting.
Yeah.
So let's flash forward to high school. He had a handful of girlfriends, none of whom he was able to maintain a steady relationship with because he couldn't maintain or achieve an erection, and he couldn't become aroused because of females, which sucks, you know.
Yeah, I'm...
really puts a damper on the dating life.
When was this? This was in, you said it started in 1950, right?
He was born in 1950, so this is probably...
Okay, so 60s, 70s. Yeah.
Upon consulting a psychiatrist, Chase was told that the root of his problems was either repressed rage or mental illness. He did not seek any further treatment after this diagnosis. It was later determined that Chase had an aversion to conventional sex and could only achieve arousal and orgasm through violent or disturbed acts, such as killing animals and necrophilia. That's fine.
Yikes.
Okay, so let's go to his early adulthood. Okay. As an adult, he went through a series of roommates, many of whom reported his bizarre behavior and heavy drug use. Even the few friends he had considered him weird. Once he nailed shut his bedroom closet door because people were invading his space from in there.
From inside his own closet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the boogeyman.
Oh, boy. Or the ghosts of all the animals.
He was preoccupied with signs that something was wrong with him, which held true throughout his adult life, and he once entered an emergency room looking for the person who had stolen his pulmonary artery, which did not happen. He also complained that the bones were coming out through the back of his neck and that his stomach was backwards and that his heart often stopped beating. Another psychiatrist diagnosed him with paranoid schizophrenia, but though he might actually be suffering from a drug-induced toxic psychosis. So,
do we know what drug, or is it like once prescribed? Or
I don't know. It didn't say. I think he did a lot of prescribed drugs as well, but I think he probably also, like, he got arrested for marijuana possession. But I think it was harder drugs than that.
I don't know that marijuana makes you think your stomach is backwards and that someone stole your
I like to believe artery. That he was a paranoid schizophrenic. Yeah. And that's the reason.
Probably.
He was put under observation for 72 hours, and it was recommended that he stay, but he was allowed to leave whenever he wanted without obtaining permission, and then he was eventually released. His life grew increasingly solvently, whatever, and he is submersed into hypochondria and drug abuse. He was 5'11" and weighed 145 pounds, so he was small. In the weight department. He lived with his mother for a while. She was now divorced from his father. But he believed that his mother was poisoning him through the food. So
paranoid, she wasn't. Schizophrenic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just gotta remember that.
His father made him move out and got him an apartment. Chase soon began to kill and disembowel rabbits that he had either caught or bought to eat their entrails raw. Sometimes he would put the intestines with the animal blood into a blender and liquefy them and drink them as a smoothie. In an effort to keep his heart from shrinking to the point of disappearing from his body. Logically.
Of course.
He once injected rabbit blood into his veins and he got very ill from it. He believed his rabbit had ingested battery acid that had seeped into his stomach. You good?
Yeah.
He believed that the rabbit had ingested battery acid that seeped into his stomach, but in fact, he had a bad case of blood poisoning.
Imagine going to, like, the doctor and being like, I have a stomach ache. I think it was, like, the rabbit I killed and ate raw. It must have eaten a battery. Definitely not the rabbit I killed and ate raw in a blender.
No, it was definitely the batteries that the rabbit may or may not
have ingested. It's the rabbit's fault.
So he was institutionalized. Finally, he was committed as a schizophrenic suffering from somatic delusions, and the doctor tried antipsychotic medication, which failed to work, indicating that his psychosis may have been precipitated by his drug abuse. So I think it was both. In 1976, he escaped and showed up at his mother's house. He was then returned to the hospital, ending up at Beverly Manor, which is a facility for mental patients, where he earned the nickname Dracula. He often spoke about killing rabbits, and one day he was found with blood around his mouth. There were two dead birds, their necks broken, outside of his window, and he had sucked the blood out of them, which is classic Reinfeld syndrome, which is clinical vampirism, and an obsession with drinking blood.
So, that's nasty.
It's nasty. After undergoing a battery of treatments involving psychotropic drugs, Chase was deemed no longer a danger to society, and in 1976, he was released into the recognizance of his parents. His mother, deciding that her son did not need to be on the anti-schizophrenic medication that he had been prescribed, weaned him off of it, which is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Eventually, he was released and deemed no longer... Yeah, I read that. His parents were granted conservatorship. And renewed annually, and his mother paid his rent and shopped for his groceries. So what happened after that? Well, the parents put him back into an apartment where he again began to capture, torture to death, and then drink the blood of rabbits, dogs, and cats. And on the occasion, he killed and ate neighborhood pets. He was at least once contacted by the neighbors and asked where the pets went. At the same time, this gets worse. He developed a fascination with firearms and purchased several handguns, which he practiced obsessively. He became fascinated with the crimes of the Hillside Stranglers, and he believed the Stranglers were also the victims of Nazi/UFO conspiracy that he believed he was also a victim of. I'll get into that later.
Okay, good. I have questions.
Chase also began to lose interest in caring for himself. He neglected personal hygiene, such as bathing, grooming, brushing his teeth, much like most computer science majors.
Yeah.
He stopped eating and dropped to a fairly meager weight of 145 pounds, which he was at before, so it's whatever. One day in 1977, Chase rang his mother's doorbell and greeted her by thrusting a dead cat in her face. He then threw the cat to the ground, knelt down, ripped its stomach open with his bare hands, and stuck his hand inside the cat, smearing its blood all over his face while screaming.
I bet she second thought those drugs that she didn't give him.
Yeah, one would think. His mother calmly returned inside the house and did not report the incident to anyone. So, bad mother.
Oh, it's just another Tuesday. My son comes by and rips a cat apart on my front doorstep, you know.
While screaming,
yeah, just casually.
On August 3rd, the same year, police officers found Chase's Ford Ranchero stuck in sand near Pyramid Lake in Nevada. Two rifles lay on the seat along with a pile of men's clothing. Blood smeared on the inside and blood-filled white plastic buckets containing a liver made them a little suspicious.
No, just a little.
When they spotted Chase through binoculars, he was nude and covered in blood. And when Chase saw them, he ran, but they caught up to him and they took him back to his pickup truck. He claimed that the blood was his and it had seeped out of him. The liver, it turned out, was from a cow, though. One might assume that the blood was also from a cow.
Yeah. This is where he starts killing people because, like, two pairs of men's clothing, guns, you know.
He hasn't killed anyone yet.
I thought this would be the start, but, you know, apparently there's more, so.
No, we're still working up to it. On December 27th, 1977, Chase fired... I'm going to say this gun wrong because I don't know how to pronounce guns. It's like a 22 handgun, but do I just stop at 22? Is it a .22? Is it 22
caliber.
Caliber? Okay.
Or, yeah, I think. Don't quote me. I'm not a gun expert.
All right. Yeah. He fired a 22 caliber handgun into the home of a Sacramento woman. The police searched the woman's home and found the slug in her kitchen, but no one was home. I mean, no one was harmed. She was home. Sorry. So he hasn't killed anyone yet, unless you count all the animals he murdered.
Just scared the fuck out of some animals.
Yeah.
And people.
So the first murder, here we are. On December 29th, 1977, Chase killed his first victim in a drive-by shooting in an apparent warm-up for the crimes he planned on committing. The victim was Ambrose Griffin, a 51-year-old engineer and father of two who was helping his wife bring groceries into their home. One of Griffin's sons, reported seeing a neighbor walking around their East Sacramento neighborhood with a .22 caliber rifle earlier that weekend. The neighbor's rifle was seized, but ballistic test determined that it was not the murder weapon. However, it was determined that a .22 caliber was used to kill Ambrose Griffin, was the same one he used to fire the bullets into the kitchen of the Sacramento woman 2 days before. So the first murder, kind of lame, hate to say it, just a drive-by.
Yeah, nothing special.
Well, now the second murder. On January 11, 1978, Chase asked his neighbor for a cigarette and then forcibly restrained her until she gave him an entire pack. 2 weeks later, he attempted to enter the home of another woman, but finding that her door was locked, he went into her backyard and walked away. Chase later told detectives that he took locked doors as a sign that he was not welcome, but that unlocked doors were an invitation to come inside. While wandering around, he encountered a girl named Nancy Holden, with whom he attended high school. He attempted to get a ride from her, but frightened by his appearance, she refused. He went down the street where he broke into the home of a young married couple, stole some of their valuables, urinated into the drawer of their infant son's clothing, and defecated on their son's bed.
Wow. Imagine coming home from school.
Yeah. Well, he's a baby, so.
Oh, never mind.
He wouldn't know. It's mostly the parents would be shook. The couple came home while Chase was still in the house, and the husband attacked him, but Chase escaped. Chase continued to attempt to enter homes until he came across the home of David and Teresa Wallen. David was at work. Teresa, who was 3 months pregnant, was in the middle of taking out the garbage and thus had left her front door unlocked. Chase surprised her in the home and shot her 3 times, once in the hand and twice in the head, killing her. It was the same gun he used to kill Ambrose. Chase then dragged her body into the bedroom and raped her post-mortem while repeatedly stabbing it with a butcher knife.
Multitasking.
Yeah.
It's always good.
He does that often. Chase then dragged her body. Oh, wait. I just read that. When he was finished, he carved the corpse open and removed several of her internal organs using a bucket to collect the blood and then taking it in the bathroom to bathe in it. He then sliced off her nipple and drank her blood using an empty yogurt container as a drinking glass.
Why is that? It's so specific.
Yeah, I don't like the yogurt container situation. Like, did he eat the yogurt first? Did he have the yogurt? Did he bring the yogurt?
She was eating the yogurt, and he was like, oh, are you going to finish that? I'll use it later.
Don't just, throw it away. Just keep eating the Recycling. Yogurt. I'll reuse it. Yeah. He went into the backyard and found a pile of dog feces, and then he returned and stuffed it in her mouth and throat.
Why?
Which is overkill.
Yeah.
I get being a vampire. You need the blood, but you don't need to do that. You don't need the... Why do you slice off her nipple? I don't know. All right, the third murder. This one gets worse.
Oh, good.
On January 23rd, 1978, 2 days after killing Teresa, Chase purchased two puppies from a neighbor, which he then killed and drank the blood of, leaving the bodies on the neighbor's front lawn, which is kind of rude.
I wonder who did it.
On January 27th, Chase committed his final murder, which also qualifies as a mass murder. He entered the home of 38-year-old Evelyn Maroth, who is babysitting her 22-month-old nephew, David. Also present at the home was Evelyn's 6-year-old son, Jason, and Dan Murdith, a neighbor who had come over to check on Evelyn. Evelyn was in the bath while Dan watched the children. He went in to the front hallway when Chase entered the home. Wait, what am I saying? Yeah, Dan walked into, okay. Evelyn's bathing. Dan walked into the front and then Chase entered the home. So then Chase shot Dan in the head, point blank range, with the .22, killing him. Chase then turned the corpse over and stole Dan's wallet and car keys. Jason ran to his mother's bedroom where Chase fatally shot him twice in the head at point blank range. On the way to killing Jason, Chase also shot David in the head. So both children are dead.
Okay.
Chase then entered the bathroom and fatally shot Evelyn once in the head. He dragged her corpse into the bed, because of course, you need a bed, where he sodomized her and also drank blood from a series of slices to the back of her neck. Same time situation. Mm. Here's where it gets worse. Medical examiners reported an inordinate amount of semen in the corpse's rectum, indicating an unusual amount of ejaculation.
Oh, he did save it up.
Stop.
Where did it come from, if not that? What, like?
He just...
Okay, he was really having a good time.
Yeah, he was. It was awful. And then when Chase was finished, he stabbed her at least half a dozen times in the anus, and the knife went so far in that it penetrated her uterus.
Hmm.
He stabbed her in a series of vital points on the body, which caused blood from her internal organs to pool on her abdomen, which he then sliced open and drained into a bucket, and then consumed all of the blood.
That's a lot of blood.
That's a lot of blood.
Like,
this can't be good for you, right?
Buckets and buckets of
like, I don't, like, could blood be bad for you?
Is it like, is he like carrying around a big gulp? Like, he just fills it up with blood, so he drives around.
That'd be less suspicious than his buckets.
Right? Like, buckets in the back seat, he just refills.
Chase then went to retrieve David's corpse, and he took it to the bathroom and split its skull open in the bathtub and consumed some of his brain matter. Outside, a 6-year-old girl with whom Jason Maroth had a play date knocked on the door, startling Chase. He fled the residence, stealing Dan Murdith's car, and the girl alerted a neighbor. The neighbor broke into the Maroth home, where he discovered the bodies, and contacted the authorities. Upon entering the home, police discovered that Chase had left perfect handprints and a perfect imprint of the sole of his shoe in Evelyn's blood. Chase, meanwhile, took David's corpse with him to his home, and then he chopped off David's penis, and he used it as a straw through which he sucked the blood out of the body.
Mm. Man is creative. I'll give him that.
He then sliced the corpse open and consumed several internal organs and made smoothies out of the others, finally depositing the corpse at a nearby church.
It's always good to meal prep for the week.
Of course, you know. Gotta make smoothies. So, apprehension. This is how they got him. After the Wallen murder, FBI agent Russ Vorpgel and Robert Risler were called in for the investigation. They compiled the profile of the killer. They determined that the killer would be tall, malnourished, a loner, physically unclean, and that most importantly, he would continue to kill. So 5 days after the mass murder and after hearing the FBI profile, Nancy Holden contacted the police, believing that she believed Richard Chase could be the killer. The police ran a background check on Richard Chase, and they came across his registered .22 caliber semi-automatic pistol.
Mm-hmm.
Detectives and a team of police went to Chase's apartment, where they asked to speak with him, and then he refused to speak with them. And the detectives and the police hid down an alleyway and waited for Chase to leave. And then they arrested him when he left his apartment carrying a bloodstained box. His parka and his shoes were also bloodstained. Inside were pieces of shredded blood-soaked wallpaper and a bloodstained .22 caliber pistol with which he had committed the murders. Chase claimed that the bloody wallpaper and the bloody gun were a result of killing several dogs, which doesn't make it good.
Not better, yeah.
When the police performed a search of Chase's person, they found that he was carrying Dan Meredith's wallet. Detective, along with Resler and Vorpgel, performed a search of Chase's apartment. They found the walls, floor, ceiling, and refrigerator, and all of Chase's eating and drinking utensils soaked in blood. On the counter was a blender that Chase had used to make his smoothies. It was caked with congealed blood and rotting matter of internal organs. Inside the refrigerator, police found several animal body parts wrapped in aluminum foil, David's brain in a Tupperware container, and pieces of his body wrapped in saran wrap, and also several of Evelyn Murat's and Teresa Wallen's internal organs. So, seems like he did it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's innocent, you know, innocent until proven guilty, right?
Yeah, of course. Like, this doesn't prove anything, you know, anything. On another counter were several pet collars. On his kitchen table, he had spread out numerous diagrams depicting various aspects of human biology. So in 1979, Chase stood trial on 6 counts of murder. In order to avoid the death penalty, the defense tried to have Chase found guilty on second-degree murder, which would result in a life sentence. Their case hinged on Chase's history of mental illness and the lack of planning in his crimes, evidence that they were not premeditated. On May 8th, the jury found Chase guilty of 6 counts of first-degree murder. The defense asked for a clemency hearing in which the judge determined that Chase was not legally insane. Chase was sentenced to die in the gas chamber, which I didn't know they still did. Waiting to die, Chase became a feared presence in the prison. The other inmates, including several gang members, aware of the graphic and bizarre nature of his crimes, feared him. And according to prison officials, they often tried to convince Chase to commit suicide, too fearful to get close enough to kill him themselves. Which is funny to me, because...
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't have a gun in prison, you know?
Apparently he doesn't really need one. He'll just bite you.
Chase also granted a series of interviews with Robert Resler, during which he spoke of his fears of the Nazis and the UFOs, claiming that although he had killed, it was not his fault. He had been forced to kill to keep himself alive, which he believed any person would do.
What's that have to do with Nazis and UFOs? What?
I'm going to get there.
Okay.
He described how Chase had believed in 1976 his blood was turning into powder and that he thus needed blood from other creatures to replenish it. Nevertheless, the psychiatrist had released him despite protests from some of the staff that he was dangerous. Chase told the FBI profiles that he had killed to preserve his own life and it was developing an appeal based on that. He mentioned soap dish poisoning. Resler asked him what that meant and to explain it. And he explained that everyone had a soap dish, and if you lift up the soap and you find the underneath is dry, then you're all right. But if it's gooey, you have the poisoning, which turns your blood to powder.
Like, how do you come up with this shit? Like, okay, so, you know, you can also just do your dishes and it will get wet.
I agree. In my brain, I wasn't thinking soap by the sink. I was thinking like shower soap. But either way, it's going to get wet.
I guess he you know, doesn't shower. So
that's true. Maybe so that's shouldn't why he doesn't dry?
Shower. Yeah, maybe that's why he doesn't shower. He's trying to combat destiny.
His gooey soap.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The powder then depletes your energy and eats away at your body. Chase also said that he was Jewish, which he was not, and that he'd been prosecuted by Nazis because he had the Star of David on his forehead, which he did not. He explained that the Nazis were connected to UFOs, which had telepathically commanded him to kill to replenish his blood. And these UFOs followed him around, and the FBI should be able to pinpoint them by using radar on him.
Radar on him?
Is what it says. By putting radar on him.
Oh, okay.
That being said, it doesn't make any sense.
No, none of it does. Yeah.
Here's the best part. Me and my roommate really had a hoot and a holler.
Oh boy.
He handed Ressler, the interviewer, a large amount of macaroni and cheese, which he had been hoarding in his pants pockets from the prison.
Pocket macaroni.
Yeah, because he wanted it to be analyzed for poison. And I just thought it's really funny that he just stuck his hand in his pocket and pulled out macaroni and cheese. So that's funny to me.
It's like the first thing he does in the interview is like he introduces himself and this is my mac and cheese. Can you please look into this? I believe it's poisoned. Also so vicious.
Here's my poison macaroni and cheese. There's Nazi UFOs following me. And also, is your soap dish gooey? Because if so, your blood turning to powder. Anyway, I'm completely sane.
Yeah. I didn't do it, I swear.
I had to do it to keep my blood clean or whatever.
Yeah.
On December 26, 1980, the guard doing cell checks found Chase lying awkwardly in his bed, not breathing. An autopsy determined that Chase committed suicide with an overdose of prison. Doctor, macaroni. Prison macaroni. It was actually poisoned. Woo, no. An overdose of prison doctor prescribed antidepressants that he had been saving up for the last few weeks.
Okay.
The end. And that's the Vampire of Sacramento.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. So this started in the 50s and went how long? How old was he when he died?
He died in the 80s.
Okay.
Was he 20 years old? God, he was so young.
Well, probably like late 20s, 30s.
Well, he died in December 26, 1980, and he was born in 1950. I did that math wrong. He was 30.
He's 30, yeah.
He was 30. Hi. I don't go to school for math.
No, it's fine. None of us do. Like immediately I'm thinking of Hannibal or Silence of the Lambs because of the amount of body dismemberment and consuming of said bodies present in this. Have you seen either one of those, the movie or the TV show?
I've seen some of the TV show. I have not seen the movie.
Really? Usually yeah. People start with the movie.
One would,
yeah.
But I didn't.
Well, I think they're both pretty good. People don't, they either really like the TV show or really hate it.
I really like Brian Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
He made Pushing Daisies. It's nothing like Hannibal, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted to watch all of his stuff, so.
Do that almost. Okay. That is my, like, probably what I'm going to go with is that. Also, when we were talking about vampires, I was thinking of What We Do in the Shadows, but nothing like this. So, yeah. All right. I'm going to go with probably Hannibal because I really like Mads Mikkelsen and you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'd like to imagine this guy could probably be a killer they chased down in Hannibal, right? Like, he's been doing it for 30 years. He's been institutionalized X amount of times. I feel like
they would have caught him very quickly.
Yeah, right? Like, they're supposed to be, like, genius detectives, or he's supposed to have, like, some kind of intuition into finding them. I feel like this one wasn't that hard to find. He, like, borrows, or he bought his neighbor's puppies and then immediately gave them back to them dead.
He's like, literally dismembered. Just walking around a neighborhood with a gun, just knocking on doors, being like,
and, like, doing drive-bys and everything where I'm sure it's his car, too. So I'm like, Man, he's really not hiding it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm surprised they also got him for, they chose first degree murder, right? For him? For like
six. Yeah, they the jury convicted him on first degree. His defense attorney was second going for degree. Second, yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm like, well, it would probably have to be first degree murder because he brought the gun there and, you know, he admitted to like opening their doors. And if it's like locked, it's not, he's not welcome. If it isn't, he can just walk right in. So, I mean, he's planning to do it. So, yeah.
I mean, was he planning?
Or it was just in the moment, you want to say, because he's like,
it's not like in the, yeah, he's going around. He's clearly looking for some blood to drink. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know if he was like, I'm going to walk in. I'm going to kill that guy. I'm going to pull her out of the bathtub. Like, he didn't know that.
Sure. Is that the difference, though, between first and second? Like, planning it to a T or, like, going, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go out and kill someone in on this road, you know? X amount of people.
You're right. I don't know.
I don't know the difference. Yeah.
What? I don't know the difference. What's third degree murder?
I don't know. Oh boy, that's a good.
Great. We're so uneducated on this topic.
Let's see. Third degree murder defined in laws of three states. That's not helpful. Manslaughter.
We know manslaughter.
Well,
that's accidental.
Manslaughter. Okay.
Oh.
First degree murder is premeditated. So you've stalked and planned the murder. Second degree is not premeditated, but intentional still. So maybe this is kind of second degree.
Doesn't matter. He killed himself anyway.
Yeah. With prison macaroni.
I can't get over the macaroni in his pockets. Like, how long do you think it was in his pockets?
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like that's a very, like, it's a waste of macaroni at that point. You're in prison. There's not that many things that make you happy. Well, he thought it was poisoned. I mean, I'd still eat it. If I was him, I'd probably still eat the poisoned macaroni. If I thought that my blood was poisoning me because I wasn't replenishing it and, like, I'm stuck in prison not getting blood, I'd probably eat the prison macaroni.
Yeah. I mean, if we were put in the same situation, I guess you're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to Hannibal, though. Talk about what you like.
From
Hannibal.
Okay. So there's a lot of episodes of it. I really like I think it's the second season. I don't want to get too specific because in case I'm wrong. it starts to kind of like have the main protagonist not know if he's a serial killer, like if he is actually evil. Like, because he relates so well with other killers and everything. So I really like the show because of that. It has, like, this whole plot around whether or not the main protagonist is, like, bad himself. And he doesn't know. And, like, at the end of the show, should I talk about the
end
of
the show? You can spoil it. Hey, we're going to spoil it. There we go.
So the end of the show describes, spoiler warning, he's been working with Hannibal this whole time and basically decides to kind of go off with him. Like it's kind of a cliffhanger ending where he does end up meeting Hannibal somewhere after like they both almost died, and apparently like they get along or they like work together doing, you know, I'm sure killing more people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like acceptance of that.
So Will does decide to go off and kill people?
Well, it's, okay, so it's open-ended, right? I believe that's how it ends, unless I'm remembering wrong. Did you see the end of the show?
No, I did not.
I believe that's how it ends. It's like, hang on. It's been a few years since I've seen the show. Spoiler. I think I watched it in high school, so it's been at least 3 years. That or they like both die. It's like an ending where, which I know it's very.
Where they both
it's like
die.
It's an ending where they're like fighting, and they, it's kind of left open ended on whether or not they both survive or both die. Hang on. I feel like maybe I should have just gone with the movie.
I really like the imagery that they use in Hannibal, like with when the bodies were sliced up.
Oh, like vivisected, like the on the slides, like if you're gonna put them in a microscope.
Yeah, like at the body museum. Mm-hmm. How they do it. I also liked, I think it was season one, it was the angel situation.
Oh yeah.
With the dead bodies.
Yeah.
That was fun.
They get creative. They really do. Especially with all the different ways. I really like the cooking sequences, which I know really not what you should enjoy is watching, you know, a person getting dismembered and cooked, but they did it so well. It was shot so well. And it just like, man, if that was like what was coming out of the blender that we've been talking about so much, I feel like,
I mean, I get know, it. I'd understand. I'd
probably eat it. Yeah.
Looked tasty.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, man, if it looked that good, I remember one of the episodes, he has like a dinner party. I'm sure he has more than one dinner party in the show. He throws a lot of them. But he prepares like, I think like 8 courses, and it's like showing like little appetizer trays and everything where it's like clearly like fingers and stuff, like actually like decorated, and it looks really good and people are all complimenting him. I'm like, man, I'm getting hungry watching this. It looks so good.
Yeah. I like that Will is played by the prince from Ella Enchanted.
Is he really?
He is. And so I was really excited because I liked the prince. And then Will is just consistently sweaty all the time.
He is. It's like they have a spray bottle ready.
It was awful.
Yeah.
He'd, like, wake up to feed his dogs and he's just, like, drenched. And I'm like, ugh.
Also, good amount of dogs in that show. I love dogs. Great dogs are great. This killer, though, you know.
He would eat them all. He obviously
does not like dogs, so he probably would. It's like an 8-course meal right there.
Maybe he likes dogs so much he just needs to eat them.
Maybe he wants to be one, so he's consuming it to become it. This article describes him as murder husbands, which I think is pretty funny. yeah, it says, so there's like literally a cliffhanger ending where they fall, where Hannibal falls off a cliff.
Oh my god.
But he survives, quote unquote, and so it's just really open-ended.
Now I know you haven't watched it in a while, but my question is, so after the first murderer that was doing the deer situation, the animal mm-hmm. situation, the daughter, right, does she become like adopted by Hannibal or something, because she's involved often, right?
Yeah, she goes back and forth to being like under custody of Hannibal and like not knowing that Hannibal had done the murders. I don't think Hannibal did the murders. I think it was actually her father, right?
Yeah.
But Hannibal had other murders that he like pinned onto the father or something.
I think so.
There was something where she eventually discovers that he's the one who's been doing it. And I think they have another one of those like character moments where she's like debating being a killer or something, or she like commits crimes and like gets corrupted or something.
Yeah, I think she becomes a murderer or something. That's what I remember seeing on Tumblr.
For some reason, I remember her dying, like either Hannibal killing her or something, where because she's like out of control or something. It was something like that where he either like he's been using her the whole time or something. But yeah, I do remember. I vaguely remember him like manipulating her and then like using her as a scapegoat, but it was like kind of just chalked up to being her murdering X amount of people and it not being possible, but he gets away with it anyway because it's Hannibal. Comparing it to the movie though, I know you haven't seen Silence of the Lambs, but I think it's also a very good watch. It doesn't have nearly as many cooking sequences too.
Sad.
Yeah, but it does have like, I guess it has more of a like stark rendition of cannibalism, I guess, which is closer to this murder or to these cases, because he's like, you know, oh, I just blend it and drink it, and that's all I got to do. Mm-hmm. And then the battery acid bothers my stomach, but like in Silence of the Lambs, it's like he will bite people, like he bites police officers often and everything, and so it's I think it's closer to like what this killer was doing, than Hannibal.
Now, I haven't seen the movie, but Hannibal Lecter's a separate entity from Buffalo Bill, right?
Correct.
And is Buffalo Bill the main villain of Silence of the Lambs?
Silence of the Lambs has Hannibal the Cannibal being like this infamous killer who's locked up. He was caught. So the movie is like he's already in prison. And I believe she's FBI or some kind of agent or detective named Sterling is going after a new killer called Buffalo Bill. And as the movie goes on, there's more and more, like, you know, the kills get more intense or whatever, or like it gets more of a desperate kind of situation. So she goes to Hannibal, who's also obviously a genius, to get advice on how to catch this killer, because he's made claims that he can like help them catch him, right? If mm-hmm. in turn he gets like a cell upgrade, or he gets food, or like, you know, he gets photos of something or whatever. Buffalo Bill is like the main antagonist of the movie, and it follows like Sterling going to see Hannibal for advice on like how to catch him. But he, spoiler for that movie, he does escape. Hannibal escapes. He manipulates everyone. And I think there's more than one Silence of the Lambs movie too, right? I feel like there is.
Yeah, there's a Silence of the Lambs too.
Yeah. And then that movie is more like the pursuit for Hannibal. So, but it's like a few years after the fact, after he escapes, if I remember that right.
Yeah. And starring Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
Everyone's icon.
Mm-hmm. I forget the full name, but I remember Sterling being like the detective's name. She's like a junior.
Clarice.
Isn't
there something
right.
in the cell? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I knew that. They use, we were just talking about it because we were watching Jennifer's Body last night.
Mm-hmm.
There's that dual camera thing when the front's in focus, but also the back's in focus. They use it in Us as well. I think they use it in Hannibal when she's talking to him in the cell. It's like her face and his face are both in focus. You know what I'm talking about?
Not really, but
you know,
I can imagine
the camera thing I'm talking about?
No, that's what I can imagine the scene. I don't know the camera technique you're talking about,
though. It's really weird. Have you seen The Perfection? It's on Netflix.
Oh, you mean like, is it like the reflection of his face? Or
I don't know the scene, but I know that the camera trick is like, it's really close to someone's face, right? But then the background's also in focus and the foreground's in focus. So it's kind of like a line directly through. And so both things are in focus and it just looks weird. It's like a camera technique that I learned about. But I think it
like removes the depth of field is what you're describing, but I don't know.
Yeah, the technique is like two separate lenses on one camera. So it's like you have to do it in the moment. It was weird. I don't know.
She's a new special agent in the FBI, Clarice Sterling. Yeah. So it is FBI.
It's always FBI.
Yeah, and she's got like a lot of he likes to pick at her like accent and stuff too. I forget where she's from originally, but it's a southern accent. I remember that because when you said her name, Clarice, like he says her name so many different ways and like so slowly, it like brought memories back of the movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. You should watch it. We should have a quarantine watch party and watch Silence of the Lambs.
I feel like I might have to watch it for my film class.
Probably. Is it specifically horror or is it just all movies? Okay.
It's just all movies. I know because we watched Sixth Sense together, but
yeah.
The next one I have to watch is The King's Speech.
Okay.
I know The Social Network's on there and I'm really excited because I love Aaron Sorkin.
I haven't seen The Social Network. I know what it is. I never watched it.
You gotta watch it. There's a great scene when Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, who plays Eduardo, comes in and he like bitch slaps like a laptop or something, and he's like he like yells at him and he's like, I don't have it's great. It's a great scene. It's good. Mark Zuckerberg sucks ass. It's awful.
I've seen clips from it, I believe. Like I've seen the one where he makes like an image board. It's like this or that or something where he like has all of the girls up and like have to compare.
Yeah, that was the OG.
It's like
Facebook
Tinder.
Sitch.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, the point was, like, he was making, like a Facebook of, like, okay. the women at, I think he went to Stanford, which became Facebook. Yeah. But it was mostly just for people at their school. But it was, he just got dumped by his girlfriend, and he came back.
Yeah, because that's the only, like, scene I remember, but I know I haven't seen the movie, so I probably just saw it online somewhere. It was, like, the montage with him typing at the keyboard and drinking beer.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake's in it.
So. Yeah, I vaguely remember that too.
He like gets Mark Zuckerberg to like come with him and like start this whole business, but then he also convinces him to like kick Eduardo out, even though Spider-Man. He came up with like he did the original code or math or whatever the fuck for mm-hmm. Facebook. And then he busts in. He's like, "You better lawyer up, asshole, because I'm not coming back for 30%. I'm coming back for it all." You know, it's good. I don't think he ever got it. I think there was a suit, and he got some money, but he didn't get like a percent.
I remember that being the case too. Okay, so it's played. He's played by. I don't remember this guy's name, but he's played by Justin Timberlake, I guess. Mm-hmm. What a good casting, I guess.
Right. You know, Justin Timberlake's not a bad actor. I'll be honest. Yeah. He's in quite a few things, actually, like drama things. But it was written and created by Aaron Sorkin, who I love. He wrote The Newsroom on HBO, which is the best show.
I've seen some of it. I want to watch more of it.
He's a lot of very good dialogue, a lot of back and forth dialogue, but he's very funny. He also made West Wing, which I'm currently watching. It's about the West Wing of the White House. It came out in 1999.
Oh. I don't think I've heard of that.
It's on Netflix. A girl I went to high school with, she was a French horn player. I don't know if you know her. I think her name was Emily or something. She was obsessed with West Wing. She wanted to be president. You remember her? I don't know if you did. She was in my stats class.
No, I didn't take stats in high school.
I know. But she still went to our high school. I know you didn't.
Well, I, you know. I had a group in high school. It was mostly our group. And then, like, you know, a few other random people. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Band majors. What?
Band majors? They don't exist. She's the one, on a side note about her, she's really cool. She was the one that composed the, during Prism, which is our concert, it was the Pirates of the Caribbean song with, I think it was only French horns. I think that was her. Oh. She wrote the music for it. She converted it all to French horn.
That's cool. I mean, I'm not a musician by any means or, you know, by any stretch. I wish I had paid more attention while I was there because in college, like I a lot of my friends are musicians or are in music and I know next to nothing about it, even though I went to this school where we had all these great band majors and like concerts and everything. I wish I had just paid more attention to it. Like two of my three roommates played trumpet and the other one played keyboard. I'm like,
I draw. I can draw a keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for being my guest, Nick.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone for listening. If you want to find us on social media, worst scheme of the crime, Nick, do you want people to find you on social media or not?
Not really. I don't have a lot, so don't worry about it.
I don't find him on social media.
You do, turn the other way. Run away. Throw your phone and run.
It's not that bad.
No, it's not bad.
Thanks everyone for listening. Don't kill anyone. Awesome.
Don't eat anyone or dogs.
Yeah, don't eat anyone. Don't kill any animals. All right, and bye.
Bye.